Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The political fiction Not One More was written shortly after the Covenant School shooting in Nashville last March. It's described by the author Dennis D. McLean King as the primal scream of millions of Americans repulsed by the frequency of mass shootings. This novella explores the heartache of loss, the journey to healing, and the moral struggle to overcome a primal and deadly impulse for retribution. The day that Coach Daniel Kane had to identify the gruesome remains of his 8-year-old granddaughter, he became radicalized. Marnie McKay was murdered by an AR-15 in a third-grade classroom. Her death required retribution, and those responsible for legalizing the sale of weapons of war to the public would now have their own offspring in the crosshairs of an unlikely cell of determined assassins. Dennis D. McLean King is a retired educator, former high school coach. He taught English in both Pennsylvania and Tennessee during his 42-year career in public education. He spent 32 years in Nashville trying to write the perfect country song. Not One More, An American Primal Scream is being called a beautifully written, compelling novel with an important and necessary message. And author Dennis D. McLean King is our guest on This Week in America. Dennis, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
This is such an important job that you've done in writing this book, an important work of art that really has us thinking while being caught up in the story. The back cover, you say you were motivated by the Covenant School shooting in Nashville. Why did that particular tragedy motivate you to write this book? Why did that resonate so much with you?
Well, all of the school shootings over the last couple of decades, you know, affect me, you know, more and more. But
yes,
Nashville was my home for 32 years. My 4 children grew up as Nashvillians. I knew people whose children attended the Covenant School. I've driven by the entrance dozens of times, if not hundreds of times. And I was a teacher at a public school about 6 miles, you know, from the Covenant School. This one was too close to home, and I just had to respond.
The book is written in first person by a high school football coach, history teacher named Daniel Kane. How closely do you identify with this teacher, coach, since you spent 42 years as a public school educator and you have that close connection with Covenant School?
Well, to be honest, the main character is thinly veiled.
Okay.
Coach Daniel Kane was a history teacher and football coach. Coach Dennis King, myself, was an English teacher and basketball coach. Now, he had one daughter and 2 grandchildren. I have 4 children and 9 grandchildren. So, to be honest, I was able to draw a lot from my teaching and coaching experience. And as writers, you write what you know. And I knew that profession very well.
With us on the program today is D. McLean King. His book is Not One More, An American Primal Scream. You'll find the book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. A link, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The story begins with a description, the chaos outside of that elementary school near Washington, D.C. after a mass shooting. The echoes of Sandy Hook, Uvalde, Stoneman Douglas, Columbine, of course, the Covenant School shooting in Nashville. The tone of the book starts out angry, stays angry, justifiably so, throughout the book. Was that an intentional stylistic strategy of you to use throughout the book and to hold our attention that way?
Absolutely. The purpose of some literature is to shock, be outrageous, to grab the reader by the lapels and shove them against the wall. And basically just to say, you know, look here, listen up. Something is really wrong. I mean, just, you know, as an English teacher, I can tell you, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe, Huck Finn, they were anti-slavery novels. Orwell's 1984 or Brave New World. Even Upton Sinclair's The Jungle was about the meatpacking industry. But they all came from the same place as my book, which is the belief that society has veered dangerously off course. Now, there's a little danger here in me comparing comparing myself to, or comparing my book to some of the giants of literature, but I had a chance to decide whether, you know, we can do marches, we can do protests, we can, you know, write, you know, hold up signs, do a letter writing campaign, wear a certain color t-shirt on a certain day. I just felt that I wanted to come at this with just a little different angle, and maybe by writing fictitious novel that I could vent my outrage, I might reach some people to start a conversation. So, you know, it's a short novella. It's designed to personalize the devastation of school shootings and their after effects. You know, so often after the TV cameras leave, we just move on. And I wanted to, in some small way, say that there are lingering, devastating effects when something horrific like this happens.
This is a great way to get that message out. You mentioned a march. It's soon over. You mentioned the tragedy. It's soon the news media moves on to something else. This book is here today. It will be here 6 weeks from now. It'll be here 6 years from now. This book will have a lasting legacy. It's a powerful read. No More, Not One More, An American Primal Scream by D. McLean King, our guest on the program. The protagonist gets involved in a plot to assassinate the offspring of senators, members of Congress who are funded by the gun lobby. Even though the book is fictional, were there any hesitations on your part, knowing you might influence some unstable people who might see your book as a blueprint or a sign that something like that should be done?
Yes, there was some hesitation, and I'm a little conflicted, right now. But I couldn't let that get in the way of pursuing what I believe was the best strategy to get people's attention about this issue.
Yes.
I'm angry. Millions of others are angry, and I'm angry that nothing to date has moved the needle on this issue. Just last month, the Uvalde investigation was made public, and I forget who the guy was that was standing in front of the camera, but he said one 18-year-old with a recently purchased AR-15 inside the classroom scared off dozens of local, state, and federal armed law enforcement officers for hours while children lay dying and wounded. Now, he went on to say, if the mandatory age had been at least 21 to purchase that weapon, all of those kids would still be alive because that kid could not have been able to purchase it. So just that small change in a federal law or a federal amendment, however many there was, 23 Uvalde elementary school kids, they'd be getting ready for Easter next month, but not now.
You know, that's shocking. And you touch on that in so much in the book, Not One More, An American Primal Scream by D. McLean King. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In the story, you plant several potential gun situations where a shooting could likely occur. The confrontation at IHOP, middle school drama production, for example, a professional basketball game at the Capitol Center Arena in Washington, D.C. There's an open carry scene inside of McDonald's. It seems you were intentionally placing height awareness on the public vulnerability to get us thinking about these places. Was that the intent in writing about those?
Absolutely. The narrator in the book, the main character, Coach Kane, Coach Daniel Kane, he says that we've grown so indifferent to these tragedies in our culture. He says, I don't know what chapter it is, but he says, I feel betrayed by a country that has slid into a willing numbness to gun atrocities, that watches a fellow gazelle mauled by a lion, then returns in seconds to eating the sweet savanna grass. So the comparison there was, you know, that there's all this chaos and people, all an excited herd of of gazelles, but once the kill has been made, they just go back to their normal routine of, you know, munching this savanna grass. And I thought that was an appropriate analogy to what happens in our country. It has become so commonplace that it just, like, I mean, if you go back to Columbine, or even, I mean, if nothing was done after Sandy Hook, when those elementary school kids were slaughtered, I'm not sure how much more shocking of an event will move the needle.
That was shocking and still is shocking. And you had those that say now is not the time. And you think, well, okay, when exactly is the time? And let me ask you that. When is the time? It's fresh in our memories. And we know from past history that, it, you know, within 6 weeks, it's going to be gone from the front of our mind, right, at least. When is the time to bring this up? If you try to do it after the event, you have people say it's too early.
Right. Exactly. And then they just move on to other business.
Yes. Yes.
I think, you know, it's beyond my full understanding of why decent people in Congress on both sides of the aisle would not make this a priority. So we can only assume that there is something very there's something compelling that is keeping them from doing it. I don't know if it's lobbyists or money or whatever it is, but as far as I'm concerned, it's beyond my understanding.
With us on the program is D. McLean King, author of Not One More, An American Primal Scream. Some of the pathos of the book revolves around the sibling connection between Marnie and little Danny. You use the term forgotten mourners in your book. Explain that. That's a powerful term, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, in my research for it, and I talked to some parents who have lost children, not necessarily through gun violence, but when a child is lost, sometimes we kind of ignore how a young sibling is able to process it. We think that kids are resilient and they're moving on and you know, they will get through this. But what happens is that they're actually in a way losing their parents as well. Their parents are in the throes of grief. Their parents are mourning and are imperceptibly perhaps distant from the kids. We've got to be very vigilant about how the younger siblings or the siblings period are processing and getting through the same grief, because their parents aren't functioning as full parents when tragedy hits this way.
A very important point brought out in the book, Not One More, by the author D. McLean King, our guest on the program. Why do you believe the Second Amendment is, and I'm going to say misinterpreted by many modern day Americans? Why is it that they really, many people can't fully understand and interpret in modern times what this amendment calls for?
You know, I think this is the crux of the whole problem, is that the Second Amendment, written in the 18th century, in the late 1700s, it was not constructed very clearly. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. So it starts off with the primary phrase, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And It was written to protect the right of each state to keep and maintain a militia. Now, the part that says partly in response to the Boston arms seizures by the British. And that's the part about keep, but more specifically to appease the southern states who wanted to maintain their state militias. I mean, there was a new federal government. There was going to perhaps be a federal army, but they wanted to make sure they could keep their state militias. So the word keep references the British gun seizures, Bear Arms references bearing arms as a state militia. And I think if the founding fathers came back today, I think they'd be horrified at how their words have been twisted. I mean, there are over 400 million guns currently in America that Americans are in possession of, and 20 million AR-15s. These are not the muskets and the blunderbusses of the 18th century, yes, where, you know, you can, you know, the muzzleloading, and you have to prime it and pump the stuff in. These are modern weapons of war the founding fathers could never have envisioned. And so, I don't know. If there has to be a rewritten Second Amendment, or that, you know, the Supreme Court has tried to clarify it, but I think they ignore that first clause of well-regulated militia. It's a very controversial. That's where the controversy comes in.
Well, it is, and I guess different people can read and get different interpretations. But just in I would think, and I'm on a limb here, but, you know, common sense would dictate, as you mentioned, this was a time of muskets and bayonets. That's, we've advanced way beyond that now. And in fact, I want to, you mentioned the AR-15. Why is that such a popular weapon in the civilian population?
Well, the AR-15, it's become the most, this is another quote from the book, the AR-15s have become the most popular hunting rifle in the United States, designed specifically to thin the herd of fellow Americans. As part of my research, I actually went to a shooting range and received some hands-on training with an AR-15. Believe me, this is a battlefield weapon of destruction. Now, personally, this urge to possess such a lethal weapon, I think it's really psychologically complex. I mean, and this is just me speaking, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think it involves ego, fantasy, and paranoia, and there are a lot of deep state conspiracy theories that, you know, at some point the government might come to, take our guns, take our children, take, yes, our property, and that we as an armed citizenry have to be able to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And Rick, I'll tell you, we may have reached the tipping point here where people think that since so many people have these weapons, that I better get one myself. And I hope we're not there, but I think we're dangerously close.
Well, a lot to think about in the book, Not One More, An American Primal Scream by D. McLean King, our guest on the program. You mentioned the 28th Amendment in Operation Poach Manifesto. Is there actually a movement to introduce this legislation in Congress?
Yeah, well, it's not in Congress yet, but there are a handful of blue state governors that believe that an amendment to the Constitution stipulating, just a few common sense precepts like one, raising the minimum age to buy, which we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Mandating universal background checks. I mean, there could be histories of instability, or mental instability, or being felons. The third one is a 3-day waiting period for purchases. And sometimes people are in an emotional state and want to rush out and get a gun to solve their beef. But a 3-day waiting period, they might reconsider, cool off, or what have you. And I personally agree with the fourth one, banning the sale of assault rifles to the public. Believe me, owning a gun is fine. You want to hunt, you want to target practice, you want to defend your own home in case there's an invasion. That, to me, that's fine. But to use a weapon of war, to own it and walk around with it, I think needs to be legislated against.
A couple minutes left in the program. Let's talk, sort of wrap it up with the major themes of this novel, Not One More, An American Primal Scream. What are some of the major themes that that you want people to discuss, and what do you hope the takeaway is when finished people reading when people finish reading this?
Yeah, well, we've talked about many of them right now, but I think personalizing the emotional damage to the immediate families of a mass shooting, that was probably my first motivation. Examining the slow return to a semblance of healing, and that long process was the second one. We talked about examining the Second Amendment and how I think it's been twisted, misinterpreted. I wanted to highlight the ease of purchasing an AR-15 and how glutted the country is with this weapon. But probably, I think that the most compelling theme of the book is, can a good and decent man rationalize betrayal of his basic convictions? I'm talking about the main character, the coach. I mean, you couldn't get a more vanilla, mainstream, law-abiding, tax-paying American than a retired school teacher on a pension who is so frustrated and angry that he even entertains such a drastic response.
Yes.
And that's where we've gotten, and the book is primarily dealing with that man's journey into retribution.
When we get caught up in the emotions of the situation as we read it, not one more, we see how easy it could be to cross that line from normal peaceful citizen to wanting retribution. I'm going to take a minute or so here at the end. Talk about the law of the jungle, the power of retribution. It's powerful when you're in that situation and facing those emotions, isn't it?
It is, and it becomes an existential struggle to determine whether he is he can proceed in that direction, and. But when something that dramatic happens, when he's the one that has to identify the body and this beautiful, precious little granddaughter of his has been destroyed in such a vile way, it's quite a journey for the coach.
How emotional was it for you to write this story with so many parallels to your life and your background?
Well, surprisingly, I'm not allowing my second daughter to read it because I drew so much from her family dynamic, and I was just imagining. I mean, she has a little girl and a younger brother, and they live in the D.C. area, and some of the Christmas traditions and the things that are talked about are related to that, I get emotional when I go back and reread it as well.
Yes,
because it could happen. And she told me one time that that I think about it every day, about the kids have these active shooter drills at school, and it just haunts me as well. So I've asked her not to read it until some time has elapsed.
Well, this is such a powerful read. It's Not One More, an American Primal Screen by D. McLean King, the author of the book available wherever books are sold, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Link for Amazon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I'd like to thank King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation today with Dennis. Dennis, a pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job in writing this book. Thank you for spending some time and talking about it with us.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. Not One More, that's the name of the book, An American Primal Scream by D. McLean King. Not One More, book available wherever books are sold. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.